This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Hour number two, Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. And what we want you to do is step up your creativity, and we want you to do it now. During Dell's Cyber Monday event, with savings up to $300 off, including deals on the latest PCs with Intel Core processors, shop laptops, monitors, and more, plus free shipping. Call 800-BY-DELL. That's 800-BY-DELL. Bart, I always enjoy when this guest joins us each week. One of my favorite people we have here at the network, and that is Harry Douglas, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, because Harry always brings it. He's got great energy, great insight.
He brings our swag up on the show. Let's just be honest. He makes us cool. He makes us cool. You know what I'm saying?
That's how I feel, too. You're right. That's a great point. He does make us feel cool. Harry, how we doing, man?
I'm doing good. Can I tell you guys something really quick?
Absolutely.
Let me tell you something. So I'm in Charlotte right now, right? And I'm with my wife. I'm in the hotel room. And my wife said, honey, we got it. What are we going to eat for lunch? I really want to go to Hooters. So immediately my antennas go up. Like, well, damn, honey. You know what? Hooters we're going to for lunch. Look at the life I'm living, guys.
Hey, man.
I love that.
With my wife.
You betting a thousand, but I tell you what, eyes better be up. You can't even look at the bum. You know what I'm saying? That's the
Straight
that's a problem.
On the menu. Straight,
you know what I'm saying?
On the menu. What a fair point.
You know what I'm saying? What a Megan and the Stallion just coming and asking you want extra sauce on your hot wings, man. You like, oh man, listen, ask my wife what I want. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, she my wife is not the jealous type. My wife is not the jealous type. My wife's like, honey, she looks good. You know me. Nah,
yeah, but
honey,
you can't say it. Ah, you're like, oh. You're like a little second like, oh.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe right. Some guys like that. Like, I don't know. Yeah, like, I got what I like right in front of me.
Not really me.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm married to a girl the same way. Man, we used to travel a lot together before we had kids. You know how that goes. And I mean, that was the thing. Yeah. We would always go, like, if we were in Ottawa, Canada one time, went to the Hooters there. Like, that's just the thing, man. It's cool. It's
now, tell me this, Harry. Like, I understand that, Hooters is a restaurant, but Bojangles is like the chicken capital when you're down there in Charlotte, though, right?
Oh, yes.
You know, I'm not going to Bojangles for no chicken, though. I'm not.
Listen.
See, when I go to Bojangles, it's the steak and gravy and that's it, or the Bowberry biscuits. That's it.
Okay.
Nothing else.
Is Bojangles? I don't know, right? I went and got my foot surgery down there, and that's when I discovered Bojangles. But up here, we got like Church's. Is that like the equivalent to the North or the Midwest Church's chicken? Sometimes Church's chicken will have like a 3-piece for 99 cents. I'm like, no, nobody cares about people that much. Ain't nobody giving me no damn 3-piece of chicken for 99 cents. There's no way in hell I'm ordering that, man, because that got to be some genetically engineered chicken.
But Bart, we used to eat those meals when you ain't grow up with money like that. You know, you used to get that 3-piece for $1.99 or $1.99, and that biscuit and everything else that came with it. You know, nowadays, you know, Bart, we doing very well for ourselves.
Yeah.
We
would Chick-fil-A.
If anybody catch us eating at Churches, they should hit us over the head with something.
That's why Butch, when he was 11 years old, had a full mustache and beard. Like, man, this was, man, them hormones in that 3-piece got you tripping, dog. hey, Harry.
Benjamin Button, huh?
Hey, Harry, speaking of tripping, was Taysom Hill tripping yesterday? Listen, I know he may have to have surgery on his finger. It looked like he had a little bit of the Russell Wilson. But I was less impressed with the Dallas Cowboys than I was about the concern about Taysom Hill and how much money he getting paid for doing that.
Yeah, I'll say the Cowboys, they won the game yesterday, but they didn't do it in a pretty fashion. I know they got 4 turnovers, but for some reason that offense just isn't clicking the way that we're accustomed seeing it click this season, especially early on. And I don't know what it is. That didn't look too impressive. The run game, I don't know if Kellen Moore, if he's not calling the right things. So they got to get it together, though. But they need to get Tony Pollard the football more, because it seems like every time he touches the football, magical things happen. But they got to figure out. And if Zeke is hurt, it's okay to tell him to sit down for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Because you need him down the long hand stretch. You got Tony Pollard, the guy who can get the job done. But somebody got to take leadership and say, hey, Zeke, it's okay to sit out. It's a greater goal that we want to accomplish. But it seems like right now nobody's doing that.
It's interesting you say that, though, because, Bart, remember before the season, you had a theory about Zeke and how he shows up in shape. You're always like, that's the first sign of what?
Yeah, that you're regressing. I mean, you hear, God, greatest shape of my life. You don't have to mention greatest shape of my life unless you feel like you're getting older and they're looking at your contract like, hey, Tony Pollard gives us a better chance to win, and he's cheaper. He allows us to be able to maybe pay Gallup and pay some of these other pieces because we can move on from Ezekiel Elliott. We know that train's
never
late. So
I wouldn't want to take a game off if I had that in the back of my mind.
But you don't want to put bad film out there, too, and show that you don't have no burst.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell me this. And, you know, with your expert eye watching the game yesterday, does this drop the Cowboys from that top tier of teams that we believe that can win? Because I believe you have the Cardinals up there, you have the maybe Tampa up there, and you have Green Bay up there. But I feel like that second tier now is starting to look like the Rams and the Dallas Cowboys for the guys that need somebody else to beat a good team so they can have a favorable matchup in the postseason.
Well, I'll say this. The Cowboys are still a scary team because when they have everyone healthy, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. So I'm not going to drop them just now. Now, are they on thin ice? Yeah, they're on thin ice right now. They're on thin ice. And Kellen Moore, now he has to dig deeper as an offensive coordinator as well. Mike McCarthy wasn't there yesterday, but their defense came up with the turnovers. What they have done with opponents being in their territory is crazy defensively and getting turnovers. And that's just a remarkable stat that ESPN showed last night and this morning. So I wouldn't put them in that category right now that the Rams are, but they're on thin ice and they're skating on it.
Tony, Harry Douglas, I'm sorry. I was thinking of your brother. Harry Douglas joins us right now. How is Tony doing, by the way?
He's doing good. He's over in Greece playing. So
I
just talked to him the other day. And he asked me when I was going to be able to come over. I was like, bro, I'm working.
Don't leave me, man. I'm about that Mykonos life, man. I need a travel buddy because most of my friends are broke as hell and they don't know how to go have fun. I don't want to sponsor nobody, man. Mykonos life.
I have friends who played, they played over in Greece, and all they ever talk about is just it's an amazing experience. So good.
It is.
Why the hell did Giannis want to leave? What the hell is wrong with him?
I mean, you know, obviously.
Well, the money's a lot. Come on.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get $500 million to play over there. For those who don't know, Harry Douglas joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. So Harry played a great career in the NFL, and his brother, Tony, played in the NBA. And again, like I said, like that's one of those things. But if you're a parent, you're like, yeah, I'm all set. I'm done. Like, I did what I had to do.
Can I ask you a question, though, Harry? Harry, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Like, because we have this debate all the time, right, where they talk about the most athletic players. Now, your brother's a basketball player, and I'm sure he's super athletic, and you're a receiver, which is the representative for us. You know, receivers and defensive backs are supposed to be the most athletic. So, in this debate, who's the most athletic player in your family? Is it you or your brother? Because I'm trying to end this debate between basketball and football players.
It's me, and if my brother was here right now, he'd tell you the same thing. That's one thing we are, like, we're honest about when it comes to things that, like, people try to, like, compare with me and him. And by the way, me and my brother are like best friends. But he'll tell you when it comes to like athleticism, like in high school, I did baseball, basketball, track, and football. He just did baseball and basketball. So,
yeah, because I feel disrespectful.
The most athletic I am.
I feel like it's disrespectful for like basketball players always assume because they're skinnier that they can do more than what we can do. Because most football players can play basketball. They just didn't grow anymore. But you're talking about short area quickness. We would have a combine 40, vertical jump, broad jump, you know, all those things, all those metrics. I think that most football players would win over basketball players. These dudes got big feet. They trip over everything. Allen, you know what I'm talking about, right? You've been a former basketball player.
Yes. Yeah, but the fact that I trip over my size 14s had nothing to do with athleticism. It's just bad coordination. I'll leave it at that. Harry, let me ask you, though. Bart and I both think – well, Bart thinks that the Broncos can pull off an upset over the Chiefs. I actually think the 9.5-point spread is disrespectful. I think the Broncos' defense is – and they've played well enough of late to show you that it should be a game. What do you see happening Sunday night in that game? Because the Chiefs have won 4 in a row, and they're at that team. We're waiting to show us you are the team that we believed you were always going to be, that Chiefs team that's going to be a dynasty. What do you see Sunday night?
Well, I'll tell you this. I've been hounding this Broncos defense before the season even started. Mm-hmm. Going back to when I was up there and I was doing first take, I was big on the Broncos coming into the season, especially with Teddy Bridgewater being their quarterback, because I knew Drew Locke was a turnover machine, and he wasn't reading things the correct way. So their defense, man, even with the Von Miller trade, they're still up there. I think they're in the top 10 right now defensively. So I think they may be able to present a brand of football to the Kansas City Chiefs that they don't really like, and that's physicality when you talk about their offense. And you talk about this Broncos defense. You look at the guys. You look at Chubb, right? And you look at Shelby Harris. And then you look at the guys on the back end. I love their two safeties. Kareem Jackson, a guy who started at corner at Houston, actually played against Kareem Jackson. Well, his high school, he went to Westside Macon down in Macon, Georgia. So a guy who moved from corner to play the safety position, right? We call that a hybrid. That's something that Charles Woodson did. You see Rondé Barber do it.
Yep.
So now it gives you a guy who can defend on the back end as well. And then the young buck, Patrick Surtain, he's coming along very well. Had another pick six. So I like this secondary for the Denver Broncos, and they may be able to present some problems for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, because you talk about if they decide to go, you know, they got Darby, but if they decide to go with Kyle Fuller because they can stop the run with a light box, now you have two of the best safeties over the top, and you can do what you need to do against Kansas City is really throw them off the rhythm and play press man-to-man and put the double on what's his name? Jeez. T.Y. What's his name?
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill. Now you can put the double on Tyreek Hill, and then maybe take a guy like Fuller, who's a cornerback, and lock him up on Kelce, and be able to present problems that way because you don't fear Mahomes in that offense running the ball downhill in any kind of physical way. So I'm excited to see. I was with Vic Fangio in Baltimore, so I'm excited to see how he decides to match up with these guys too, because Jonathan Cooper has also been a tremendous guy that can rush the passer. That's why they were willing to let Von Miller go, because this young player is coming along real.
And I'll say, when you look at Ronald Darby, I would more so lean towards Fuller, because Darby is a smaller corner.
Yeah.
And when you have those, like a guy like a Kelce, right, and those other receivers, I know Tyreek Hill is small, but those other receivers who can probably go up and catch the football over him, that's what that's going to play a factor in. So I would go with Fuller there. And that, what about that Fuller family tree, though, man? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Crazy.
Hey, Harry, we love throwing hypotheticals around, and we're seeing some windows closing now for certain franchises. Like the Ravens could put an end to the Big Ben era really Sunday. It looks like that window in Pittsburgh, like that's closing now this year. You know, the Saints last night, what we saw from them, and maybe the Saints as we knew them, Drew Brees, Sean Payton, that might be over too. And then there's, of course, Seattle and Pete Carroll, who clearly can't stand losing. You could see how it just eats at him. And where they are right now is they're a bit of a mess, you know, cap-wise, and their defense isn't what it used to be. And so if we hypothetical some things, if they're going to close the window there in Seattle, and they maybe say, well, we've got a trade chip in Russell Wilson, who clearly was always looking to go somewhere else anyway, where would be the best fit for him? And would you see the Giants as a team that should do whatever it takes to get him?
Should the Giants do whatever it takes to get him? I say yes, because you have the weapons. Do you need some more weapons? Yes, you may need a little bit more, but you made a strong effort to get those guys in the offseason. And Daniel Jones has not did what he was supposed to do with those weapons. Now, yes, they beat New Orleans, but it comes to play out that New Orleans isn't a good football team this year, right? We know their run defense is good, but everything else is just up in question. When you look at Seattle, I think it's time for Seattle to move on in a different direction. Now, I wouldn't mind seeing Pete Carroll in a front office role, right? But as a head coach, I think they need a new head coach, and if they do decide to go that direction, are they going to keep Russ? Will they keep Russ? If they decide to move on for Russ, get as much as you can for him and then rebuild, right? Basically what Pete Carroll did when he got there the first time. So, and then you look at New Orleans Saints. Now, I'll tell y'all this. Don't be surprised when I say this, right? Sean Payton, if for some reason the Dallas Cowboys don't pan out the way they're supposed to pan out this season, and Mike McCarthy plays a role in that, what do y'all think about Sean Payton going to Dallas?
I mean, I think that'd be crazy, right?
He and Jerry Jones certainly have a relationship.
They love Kellen Moore, and it seems like, you know, I don't know if Sean Payton would be
the type of coach that if he'll give that control. The Giants should then go get Kellen Moore. Like, that's what you do then.
Blank check, Kellen Moore,
let's go.
Yep, that's what you do. You know, it's been a theory that maybe Sean Payton goes to the Giants and goes to the front office and become like the coach slash general manager as well.
Yeah, you give him full autonomy.
Yeah, you give him full autonomy because you think about, you know, the Giants always hire somebody that has, you know, DNA there, and the fact that he was there with Fossil. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be intriguing because the Giants, too, do have two first-round draft picks right now in the top 10 that they can offer for Russell Wilson. And that's, I would tell you that Russell Wilson would make them an instant. I mean, could you imagine seeing twice a year Dak Prescott and Russell Wilson? Because I always thought that Dak Prescott was an alternate universe Russell Wilson anyway, right? He was just a little bit less talented than Russell Wilson, but still had a high ceiling as well. I would love to see that every year.
And I gotta say this about Russell Wilson before we go, fellas. Mm-hmm. All right, the Russell Wilson that y'all are seeing right now is not the norm Russell Wilson, right? You can easily tell that finger getting that screw out of there is bothering him. Because Russell Wilson just doesn't throw bad footballs like that. He doesn't throw interceptions like that. And I actually, before this little mishap, because I had a friend try to call me out on this, and I had to tell him to shut up quickly. Listen, Russell Wilson, before this little stint that he's on, to me, was one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the league, and I thought he threw the deep ball the best out of all quarterbacks in the National Football League.
Ever. I think he was top five. I think he's always top five quarterback.
Yes.
I think he's amazing at what he's doing. When it's time for winning time, he's one of the guys that I trust the most because that's when he brings his legs to life and able to do those off-schedule plays. But listen, he's been big time, and I think that he's been a victim of playing with a defensive-minded coach that didn't really build an offense that he can really be dynamic around. Right? It's always, he had Schottenheimer run the ball 50,000 times, no imagination.
Exactly.
Right? Could you imagine Russ? That's why Russ needs to leave so he can really show. Much like Matthew Stafford, if he gets out of there and he goes to a place and that adopts that new type of offense, wide open type of offense, he's better than Kyler Murray. Like, he's better than Dak Prescott. He's top five in his league, and he just hasn't been able to show us how special he is because he hasn't had the offensive personnel or the offensive philosophy to really, I think, situate all his talents.
All right, Bart.
Exactly.
Well, as we know, Mrs. Douglas is waiting to get the Hooters, so we don't want to keep her
eyes up, man. Keep them at 12, man.
Straight
you drop
on
down
the menu,
to three,
baby.
You go three to six, man. It's gonna be trouble.
Eyes up. I'm gonna keep them at 12. We have Hooters. My left eye may move a little bit, but it's gonna be. Don't try to stay at 12.
A good wide receiver has good peripheral vision, right? So you make sure
exactly.
Whatever you need to see, you'll see. Harry, great to talk to you as always, my man. Thank you so much.
All right, fellas.
All right, Harry Douglas again. Fantastic.
I love talking to him, man.
Swaggers out.
He's
definitely, he's the best. He's one of my favorite guys that we have on. That's why we have him on every week. And he was on the Goodyear Hotline. It's Bart and Han. We broadcast live from Seaport District at Pier 17. It's brought to you by Chase. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bart, let's take this is a good one, actually. Roland in Texas on the Cowboys defense. Roland?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How we doing?
I was just going to talk about – come on, Bart. I figured since you're a defense guy, you would give a little bit more credit to Dallas now that they have Lawrence back. I mean,
I
understand Dak. I understand Dak. He should be doing better, and the offense should have been doing better. But just having Lawrence back, I mean, that was a whole different defense. And I know Hill was injured and whatnot, but, I mean, come on, four interceptions in one game, and he only threw four the whole entire season? Having him back is a whole other game.
No, absolutely. Then Randy Gregory coming back and add another element. But I think they played a shell. So I don't know if that was a great test, right? Because you think about no Ramchek, no Armstead, no Kamara. That could have been a different game. And I think they're going to have to bring a lot more to the table when they go against Kyler Murray. Because just think, right? If they win and they have to play first week, they could either play the Rams, which, right now doesn't look like a hard matchup, but they can mess around and have to play the 49ers, who are trending, who can play a different brand with what Debo Samuels is doing. They're going to have to be on their A game, because, you don't want to get a false sense of security.
You didn't like that pressure, at least, because they didn't have a lot of pressure. I've noticed they don't have pressure to the quarterback. They sit back and just have, tea party. And I've noticed way more pressure, especially with Hill, and all they had was the running game. And they ended up figuring it out, and they pressured him on the line.
But
when the QBs get better, hopefully in the postseason, they have at least a little bit of pressure.
Yeah, but you got to think, it's just a different game with Ramchek, who's an all-pro, and Armstead, who's an all-pro. So you got to think, the teams that he's going against, Bakary may be back, and you got to go deal with that bad man, A-Ron, and Aaron Jones, and dealing with the Thunder Thighs, and, teams that can run the ball and throw the ball. So you got to make sure that's still sharpened steel, because your margin of error – one thing you want to avoid is being the Cowboys and have a false sense of security, and then you go against a team that's fully loaded that has your equal counterpart on the other side. outside at quarterback when you get to the playoffs. It's no Mark Sanchez, Joe Flacco early years that's going to be in the postseason from the NFC. These are all veteran guys that know what winning time's all about. Dak is, you know, has experience as well, but these guys have more experience than Dak.
Roland, thank you so much for the call. 888-8-ESPN.
That's a great call, though, too.
729-3776. Yeah, and it was a good point. As the Cowboys, remember, the big story about them when they got off to the 6-1 start was their defense, which had been
and turning the ball over
for years, getting the turnovers, right? And so as they get healthy again on the defensive side, will that defense return and will that be more of their identity? Remains to be seen. Coming up, we have your calls. And also, Brian Kelly, was he trying a little too hard to fit in down in Louisiana? You've got to hear it to believe it. And if you haven't heard it yet, oh boy, this is one you don't want to miss. And that is coming up after Bart tells us about ZipRecruiter.
If you're a business owner, it can be tough to hire the top talent for your team, especially when you're competing with the other businesses to find the right people. So how can you get the hiring edge? ZipRecruiter. Next Key marketing manager Erin Hargy loves ZipRecruiter Invite to Apply. She says, they get my job posting in front of the right people. I instantly get great candidates, and I can invite them to apply to my job. See for yourself. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/BART, to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BART. Back after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
Welcome back, Bart and Han. ESPN Radio, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Hey, save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. So, Bart, you have done a lot of talking today.
Yes.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you for doing that.
So we both can take a break?
Yeah, I think now is the time.
Yes, it is.
Of the show where we stop doing the talking and we let those who are the headline makers do the talking. And it's one headline maker this week who does some talking in an accent we've not really heard him use before. But you need to hear it. And it's coming up next in what we call
Audio Files.
Audio Files. The audio file.
I did not have the gong ready. Do we
there's
need
no,
the gong?
There's no need to have the gong. This is all gone. We want to get straight to this. I mean, this may go down to the audio file Hall of Fame.
Yeah, like at the end of the year, we should do a best of audio files. I think this one actually gets in. Like, I mean, that, you know, like the late entry.
Yeah.
It's just that good. In fact, it's so good. Let's go ahead and do it. Let's go ahead. We got to do this right. You get a little gong for you, virtual gong today.
All good.
So we were just, during the break, listening to a very impassioned speech that Marcus Freeman made, the new head coach of the Notre Dame football team, to his players. He is now the head coach because the previous head coach, Brian Kelly, left for LSU. Brian Kelly didn't waste any time ingraining himself into Tiger Country. He went to LSU's basketball game.
Oh,
addressed
that's nice.
The fans, and did so speaking a certain way. Take a listen to this.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
Hold up, bro. Like,
at Louisiana State University.
Who is this, Boss Hog? This Ralco Bico train. Like, if I'm at LSU, yo, I'm insulted.
I'm in hot pursuit.
Those two boys.
That sounded really close to Toe Mater. Like, he almost was imitating.
Like Toe Mater without the tuh.
Without the
ka-ching. Did he go watch Larry the Cable Guy?
He was imitating. That sounded like what he was imitating.
And he was elongating his words. I love. I love you. I really, really. Anybody that know wrestling know that Brother Love. There's no love in Sir Hulk Hogan's heart.
Is the way you heard him, dude. The Louisiana State University.
Bro, that just means
like
that
it was off the chart. Like, he really dove in.
He went full Tropic Thunder, man. That is full That is definitely the Hall of Fame. That is full Tropic Thunder. Are you kidding me? Where is this dude from? He's from Massachusetts. What are you talking about? He's supposed to sound like Ben Affleck. Not Boss Hog, not Larry the Cable Guy. Really? What's that show, Gator Boys or something? They had them, they shoot the alligators. Man, come on. I cannot get enough of this. This is the most insulting. Listen, this just shows you what a big fraud this dude is. You know what type of fraud? Like, he planned today intelligence.
Listen to me, man. He, not only was he born in Massachusetts.
Preparatory school. What the?
I mean, he went, like, it's not, like, you know, some people say, like, well, he was born there, but he probably traveled around a lot. And he went to, he was in Danvers, to prep school there, St. John's Prep.
He went to Cincinnati, Central Michigan.
He also, by the way, went to Assumption College. Like, my man was in New England forever.
Yes.
His dad is a politician. I mean, like, can you imagine?
Well, that explains a lot. His dad is a politician. That means a whole damn lot.
Yeah, but from Boston, like he, yo,
he's supposed to sound like Ben Affleck, man, Mark Wahlberg, man.
There's something special about that. You got to admit, there is something special about that, right,
bro? Bro, this is amazing, man. This dude was at Grand Valley State from 1991. Well, that's in Michigan.
Imagine he walks into LSU though, and he's just like, "We're going to work hard." We're going to be smacked. Like, you can't do that.
Bro, but you got to find something.
So he had
to
change it up. He had to be more relatable. So how can you be relatable when you come out, you just talk about how excited I am about this opportunity.
Bro, this dude was
at this university.
And you could say, well, maybe he lived in the South and he picked up the twang. Man,
never.
This dude has been at Grand Valley State, which is in Michigan, from 1991 to 2003. Then he went to Central Michigan for 3 years. Then he was in Cincinnati before. This dude ain't been below the Mason-Dixon line. This is first time below the Mason-Dixon line. This is ridiculous. Are you kidding me? And this is what you got to do, man. Come on, man. Stop it. You come straight out of a comic book.
It's beautiful. It really was. That was just.
Love you.
All right. Well, if you think that story was funny, we have another cut for you. That we're going to play, one of our favorite people, also Lewis Riddick, who's talking to you about a story that, again, when you heard it, you were like, this can't be true. Like, this has to be made up. Antonio Brown was suspended 3 games. Why? Well, he violated, you know, the NFL's COVID-19 protocols. What did he do? Let's just say he misrepresented his vaccination status. Remember that story about a former personal chef who said that he got him to get some fake vaccination card?
He asked him to purchase it,
yeah.
And then he said he couldn't find it, and then a couple weeks later, he had it.
Yeah. So that happened, and now he's suspended for that. Oh, by the way, Antonio Brown is vaccinated. Lewis Riddick on the suspension.
When you're falsifying, you know, documents and proof of vaccination cards, you know, this is something that speaks to not just trying to keep the NFL on track and trying to keep players healthy and trying to keep their families healthy. I mean, this is a global issue. This is, you don't want people now who aren't vaccinated, and we understand what, you know, how that affects the rest of the population and how it affects you in particular. And there's a reason why, you know, that you have different protocols that you need to follow when you aren't vaccinated. Well, if you're lying about that, I mean, if you're flat out telling people, yeah, I'm vaccinated via a falsified vaccination card, then, I mean, how the hell are we ever going to really be able to get our arms around this thing?
Bart, that's one of those where you look at, you got to look at AB and think to yourself, like, did you really do that? Like, of all the things
it's the hockey,
do,
the hockey did, dude, the hockey dude did it too. And it cost him a lot. The dude from out west that came out.
Evander Kane.
Yeah, exactly. So the fact that Antonio, and it cost him a lot more than just three games. You know, it's crazy because also you talk about, you have a head coach that had cancer twice.
So backup safety Mike Edwards and also John Franklin III, a free agent wide receiver who Tampa waived in August, all three of them have been suspended.
Yeah, Kane got 20 games. I don't know what the equivalent of that is in football. I guess three games would be about that. That's like a little bit below a quarter of the season. But you know,
what did
he's
you say though
about
Brown? Like, what did you say? Because this got out because of
he got to start paying his. He got to start paying his damn bills, man. This is the second time he got snitched on. He's like, oh, you ain't gonna pay me my money. I think he owed him like $10,000, and he's like, so he went and snitched on him. But this is not special. The first time, because remember a couple of years ago he didn't pay his trainer. Yep. Like, bro, you make multi-million dollars, bro. Like, if you pay your bills, you wouldn't have this issue. So now, what costs you more, $10,000 or the $400,000 or the $1.2 million this may cost you for not just giving the dude his money, man?
So that is audio files. The Brian Kelly thing to me, that
Brian Kelly, I'm still mad at Brian Kelly, man. That's like insulting to a whole region of people.
Are you mad at him? Or are you like, when in Rome?
No. You know? They're just telling me you're a false dude, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a fake dude, and you're trying to – that says a lot. That's the way he left Notre Dame and the way he entered and introduced himself to the people of New Orleans or Louisiana.
Right. I believe we have a caller on this. Let's take a call here on the Dr. Pepper call line. Will in Wisconsin. Go ahead, Will.
So thank you, first of all, for taking the call. And also, listening to the way that the coach was talking, I don't think he was doing it disrespectfully or fake. I think it's just something that happened because of the environment that he was in. This is something that I actually do myself, and I noticed this. My family has noticed this. I just got back from Atlanta, and I noticed myself talking with an accent of the people that I was around down there, osmosis.
He been there. Listen, I've lived all kind of places. I'm from the Midwest, right? And I don't talk like Allen. I don't talk like people from Long Island. He was putting a little bit twang on you. You don't start, you know. He been there for less than a week. How the hell is he speaking like they've been there less than a week?
Yeah, like, I get what Will.
But I was in Atlanta. I was in Atlanta for a week, and had to change the way that I spoke when I got back home.
I get what Will is
saying. I feel like it's not something that he was doing on purpose, just something that happened as a result of where he was and the personality that he has. That's all.
No, thank you, Will. Because I will admit this, though, Bart. Because, I mean, it was just funny. It was funny. That does happen, but I'm with you. It happens when you're there for a while. And it's like you're just hearing that so much.
You say terms that maybe they use, right? I lived to college in St. Louis, man. I didn't start talking like the people from Chicago, especially not a week there. So when he go to the bowl game, he going to talk differently. If he go to a bowl game, like, oh, man, like, you been to the bowl game? Yeah, man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Robert. Give me 5, 10, 20, 25, 30. Go start talking like that. Like, stop it, man.
Yeah, that's the part where I feel like
Dude been there less than a week.
Exactly. If you're there long enough, it kind of seeps into it. It trickles into your own,
you're
you sane. Know, the way
you're
you speak.
Sane. You're sane.
It's phrases you use, sayings you use, because you're just used to hearing it. But you have to be there a while for it to really sink in. And this felt a little more like, hey, let me be a little more authentic. And it just was like, man, just
be yourself, bro. Like, and he threw it on thick too. Like, I mean, it's one thing if he were talking like them, but drawing his words out. I'm so happy to see you. Like, come on, man. Like, that's insulting to people, man. Because that's you saying that that's what you think they sound like.
Yeah, it was still funny though. I love it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If that happens,
what's up, Joe? What's up, Joe? What's the trigonometry? I'm supposed to start talking like Wu-Tang?
A big weekend in the NFL, but an even bigger weekend in college football. Your call's next, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Welcome back, Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. So, Bart, let's take a look at something, because as Ben Roethlisberger's career seems to be headed to an end at this point this year, the Steelers are struggling, but he's also struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be the last of the 2004 draft class of the quarterbacks, a very heralded quarterback draft class. To finish up, as Philip Rivers finished last year, Eli a couple of years ago, and now him. And then at 04 draft, so you had Eli, you had Ben Roethlisberger, you had Philip Rivers, and you had also Matt Schaub, who had a nice career as well. Where would we rank that 04 draft class when we think about some of the other great quarterback draft classes? Now, the biggest one that everybody talks about is the 83 one, with obviously John Elway and Dan Marino and Jim Kelly, Ken O'Brien, Tony Eason, Todd Blackledge. Like, Elway, Marino, Kelly, and Eason all got to Super Bowls. In fact, of course, Kelly 4 in a row, Elway 5, and he won a couple. I'll give you a couple other ones, too. We just had the 2020. You had Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. Jalen Hurts has been good. Tua Tagovailoa also went in that draft. 18 was one we thought would be great. It's Lamar as an MVP. Josh Allen's a candidate. Sam Darnold has not played well. Josh Rosen's bounced around. Baker Mayfield went one that year, and we're wondering if his future in Cleveland's going anywhere. And then this one we don't talk about enough. 2012, Andrew Luck, RG3, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, Ryan Tannehill, Nick Foles. It's a hell of a draft.
Yeah, what could have been? That's what could have been, right? If Luck would have stayed, if RG3 could have stayed healthy. If RG3 would have stayed healthy, you know, we'd have been hearing about Kirk Cousins like Matt Schaub. Remember, Matt Schaub was sitting behind Matty Ice, and then he got the opportunity to go play for the Houston Texans, and then that gave him the ability. But for me, the gold standard is 2004 because of the heavy hitters on there. You know, you talk about, you know, you look at these other drafts. I don't know where Burrow and Herbert's going to be. I don't think Tua has what it takes to be a Hall of Famer. Jalen Hurts as well. So you talk about that's two with the possibility of being a Hall of Famers. Like, you have three Hall of Famers in 2004, much like you had in 1983. So for me, the edge goes to 2004, and I think 2004 should be the gold standard, even above the 1983, simply because when you go, you can go Eli for Elway, you can go Rivers for Marino, and you can go Ben for Kelly. And I think the argument where, you know, the 83 class went to more Super Bowls, 2004 won more Super Bowls. So between that class, you have four Super Bowl victories, five appearances. I don't care about appearances. I care about winning, right? And they won four. When you look at 83, they won two. So
Elway
to me,
won.
That's
yeah.
He won two. So to me, that means to me that class is the better class.
Because you have
three Hall of Famers, and you have three Hall of Famers, three guys that's going to go. See, they just haven't been cemented yet. Once they're cemented, the new gold standard for everybody talking about the draft class going forward, they're going to compare to, can you get 2004 three Hall of Famers?
When you talk about depth, of course, 12 has the depth. You know, that's the one where you got, just like 83 has depth. That's
but three's already burnt out. Yeah, three's already burnt out, though. Mm. Luck and RG3 is barbecue chicken, and Foles is just sitting behind everybody watching.
Amazing. We thought 18 would be a great draft, but I'll tell you what, would 2021 turn into a great draft? Because we don't know with five taken in the first round, we don't know what that draft is going to be. Remains to be seen. We are back in 10 seconds. Barton Hahn.
I know you saw me on the radio. True. I know you saw me on your videos. True.
True.
But you still don't pay me no attention. Listening to what your homegirls mention. He's a creep. Got a different girl every day of the week. True. I don't get one of you. I got to let you know that I got a crush on you. Ooh.
It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We want you to tune in to the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Bart, we have conference championship weekend in college football this weekend. And this is, I mean, every game matters in these championships. SEC championship between Alabama and Georgia. And for Alabama, there's a lot at stake for them. Michigan in the Big Ten against Iowa. Michigan cannot slip. Cannot slip. And then Oklahoma State. I mean, they play in the Big 12, they're playing Baylor, who's a good team. And Oklahoma State has a lot on the line here because if somebody does slip, they're right on the outside now. They're five right now. They could jump into the top four with a convincing win and someone else taking an L. And then, of course, there's Cincinnati in whatever the hell conference they're in.
You know,
but in Houston, and they need to obviously have a very convincing win just to make sure that there's no reason to take them out.
What I love about the whole Oklahoma State type of scenario is we're talking about a conference that is dying, that is losing some of their biggest hitters.
Yeah,
and you talk about, you know, maybe that conference could have a national champion and don't even have a conference anymore. And you look at teams, like what teams would want to buy them up? Because Baylor has a good football team and basketball team. And if you got Oklahoma State, they'll be getting bought by somebody. Oh, the open season. Back after this.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.